So this morning, hey, I want to remind you about the men's. The men always have to introduce the men's stuff. So on Friday at 7:30, we're going to meet here. I think we're having three different testimonies, but not too long. They're going to be about 5-10 minutes. Then we're going to do some Q&A back and forth. We're going to have some worship. We're just going to have a great time. If you're a man, you need to be there because we're going to have a good time as men. And so if you're available, come. If you're not a man, don't come. That's the only time we won't welcome you. It's the only time. But if you are a man, then you come because we want you to be there. And if you've never been, don't worry because we've only started them. So we are all new to it. We've only done two or three so far. So Friday evening, 7:30, if you're free, come along. It's going to be really good. Baptism, in case you think we just announced it a couple of times in a row, we had to change it, unfortunately. So it was due to be tonight, but we changed it to next week. It worked out far better all round. So if you're planning to come tonight, don't come. Save it for next week. So next week, 6:30. And if you haven't decided to get baptized, but you know you need to, then you know there's still time. So keep praying about that. God wants to see us all get baptized for him. So this morning I want us to look at living as sons and daughters. This is what I heard. I heard that for the last 2-3 years, Northern Ireland has had the highest rates of suicide in all of the UK. That just blows my mind. Highest rates of suicide, some of the highest rates of depression, some of just the highest rates of all the negative things that you never want to have. And I thought this, I wonder why is that the case? I wonder why are we struggling in such a crazy way whenever we're a country that's supposed to love God, know Jesus, be flat out for him. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, there's an awful lot of sons and daughters not living like sons and daughters. That there's a lot of people that, because there's Christians not living truly as sons and daughters, then other people are looking going, well, what's the point being one of those guys? Because it just looks like you're not allowed to do all the fun stuff. It just looks like that you have to be good living. Anybody ever heard that term before? And none of us are good, the Bible says, only Jesus. But I tell you what we have done, we've went from dead people to alive people. And that is the message that we're here to share. And that is the message that we're here to encourage. We're not going around telling people in Jermarg that they're bad and they need to be better. That's part of the message. But the gospel is, you were dead and we want to see you come alive in Christ. And through his strength and through his help, he'll make you alive. And so I thought this morning, I was praying and just seeking God. He said this to me, why are we having the highest rates in suicide, the highest rates of depression, the highest rate in all of these negative things? Maybe as Christians, we need to take more responsibility, stand up tall, and start to live as sons and daughters. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, living as sons and daughters. We're not just sons, but we get to live like that. We get to live like sons. We get to live like daughters. And when you think about becoming a son or a daughter, you've got to think of it in this context. Whenever you come into my home and suddenly you become a son or daughter of mine, what does that mean? You can expect to get the door keys. You can expect to have full access. You can expect to come all of the time. You can expect to have a bed. You can expect to have all the privileges that everybody else has in the home if you're family. And so the Lord is here this morning. He says, I want you to know that you are family if you know Jesus. And if you are family, you have the same access as Jesus. You have the same access as everybody else. And God says, I want you to come. I want you to come to my throne. I want you to come boldly before me. And I want you to know my love. And I want you to know my grace. And God is here this morning. He wants to remind us all over again that we are called to live as sons and daughters. Here's what Galatians 3, verse 26 down to verse 29 says. I think we've got it on the screen. And hopefully if you've got your phone, you can look it up. Or if you've got the old-time Bibles in print, then you can look that up as well. It seems like nobody has them anymore, including me, iPads only. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Have we got that one, James? Awesome. It says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. And so this is reminding us how we got to be children of God. It came through faith. There's no other way. We came to Jesus through faith. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. It wasn't any works. It wasn't that we should boast. We sang about it earlier. But we simply came to Jesus. He did all that he needed to do. And we took that final step to say, yes, Jesus, I need you in my life. And then he came into my life, and he didn't just change me, but he changed my identity. He changed everything about me. That's why he says, I made all things new. And when we get to Revelation chapter 5, it says that Jesus is going to sit on the throne. And when we get to heaven, he's going to make all things new again. Because he's a God who makes all things new. And when we came to him, we became sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of God. Think about that for just a moment. Sons and daughters. That is an incredible reality for us as believers. We didn't just become new people. we didn't just have a turnaround in our lives, but we actually changed who we belong to. We actually changed family. We became part of God's family. And we're going to talk a lot about this morning, so let's get ready. Because God wants to encourage our hearts, and he wants to remind our minds that we are sons and daughters. And if you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, what is not available to you? Nothing. What is too hard for you? Nothing. What can you not stand up against in Jesus' name? Absolutely nothing. And the world around us, and Northern Ireland particularly, if we've got all these highest rates of everything, that's what they need to hear, and that's what they need to see. Sons and daughters living like sons and daughters. Not sons and daughters who know that they're saved, but kind of still living like slaves. Not sons and daughters who know that they've had their lives transformed, but still living like orphans, because we're still begging like everybody else, because we're still living like everybody else, because we're still living back as if we were in Egypt, like the children of Israel. But instead, we are men and women living in the promised land. It may not feel like it, but we are living in the promised land. Why? Because heaven has come to earth, and we are citizens of heaven. And so everywhere we take our steps is holy ground. Everywhere. We reclaim every bit of ground for Jesus because he has paid the highest price. I love the word redeemed because it means that we buy something back. But to buy us back, we had to pay the highest price. Jesus had to pay that. Only he was worthy. And so because of him, he gives us access to all these other things. And so when he says to us this morning, so in Christ Jesus, you're children of God through faith, it's incredible. Because of the cross, because of sacrifice, because blood was shed, suddenly we get to be part of the family of God. Take stock of that for just a moment. Maybe you look at your own family and think, I wish it could be better. Maybe you don't have a family. Maybe there's no family near you. Whenever you come to Jesus, suddenly you step into a family of God. There is no better family than that one. There can't be, because God is the pinnacle of everything. There's nobody greater than him. And so when we came to Christ through faith, we stepped into a family. It says, for all who were baptized into Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. I mean, even our appearance has changed. Even. Have you ever met someone who didn't know Jesus and then came to faith, and then suddenly it's like, wow, you even look different. You even look better. I mean, you look better. Wow, I like that. So don't get saved because you want to look better, but get saved because you're dead and you want to become alive. But God is so good that he changes us from the inside right through to the outside. That even our complexion, even how we look, even our attitudes, even the way that we respond, everything completely changes. Why? Because we are clothed in Christ Jesus. I love that. We are clothed in him. It's something that he put onto us, and we're forever changed. Verse 28, there, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I love that part, because without that part, then it could say, well, I'm better than you. And we're the guys for Jesus. The Jews are the only ones that's going to get Jesus, nobody else. And then the Lord puts that in, and he says, doesn't matter if you're slave or free. Doesn't matter if you're Jews or Gentiles. Doesn't matter where you've come from. If you come to Jesus, there's full access. If you come to him, there's everything that you need. You belong to a new family. Everything has changed. Neither male nor female, for you alone in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, the wonderful thing about Jesus and the wonderful thing that we need to continuously remind ourselves is that when we step into faith with Jesus, we step into a new family, everything changes, not just in me, but for me. There's an inheritance that comes from heaven that's not just when I get to heaven, but there's an inheritance here for me on earth today, because I get to step into the promises of God every day. Imagine that. If we could remember back to before we were saved, unfortunately, I struggle to remember that because I'm so thankful that I've walked with God most of my life. Now, I've got more intense with that and more passionate with that, thank goodness. But it's hard to remember the days without him, so it's hard for me to remember what would it look like to walk without the promises of God? What would it look like to walk without the benefits of God? What would it look like even when I don't remember about him, he's continuously singing over me, and he continuously remembers me. See, church, this morning we've got to know that whenever we come into God's family, everything changes. And if everything changes, then everything in us should change, and how we live should change. And so everywhere we go, we bring this hope of the world. We talked last week about reaching out. Everywhere we go, we bring transformation. Everywhere we go, we bring the hope of the world, because we are sons and daughters of the living God, and that changes everything for me. Anybody want to say amen? Amen this morning. God is good. Verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are children, children of God through faith. What a transformation. I want us to remember that. Dead slaves in sin to sons and daughters with God. Well, let me just use some stories today to illustrate more. The last couple of days, Nikki and I, wedding fanatics. We've been at weddings all day Friday, all day Saturday. It's just been nonstop. Amazing days. But it's like, why couldn't they space them out a bit? We need a break in between. But had incredible times. And I love weddings for more than two reasons, but two quick reasons we'll share about this morning. I love that sons and daughters come together to form new family. I love that people come together to start new family. And within that family, there's potential for anything. There's potential for anything. As two people, a man and a woman, commit themselves to each other, there is potential for anything in that marriage, especially when God's in the middle of it, especially like the weddings that we were at the last few days where Jesus was the center of everything. Even they were singing it in their songs, Jesus be the center of our lives, Jesus be the center of our marriage. There's something special about marriage when we come together. And of course, we know the symbolism of marriage for the church because our Jesus is coming back for us. He is coming back for a beautiful bride. And we as the church are the bride. And our husband-to-be is on the way. And he cannot wait to be with me. I shouldn't do that. It's Raymond. But he can't wait to be with us. He cannot wait to be with us. And he's going to change everything for us. And then when we get to be with him in glory, everything will change forever. But we've got to know this. We're not like another bride who waits for the day to be with her husband and then everything changes. Our groom is so good that he's already changed our lives before we get to be with him forever in heaven. He is so good. He has transformed our lives as sons and daughters of the living God. And so everything has been changed for me. Everything has been. And so when we think about reaching out, we think about reaching out with that because we can see other people coming to know him. Here's the other thing about marriage is that it's about forming new families, but it's full of love and it's full of commitment. I love that it's full of love. It makes me, you know what it reminds me of? Jesus all the time. Reminds me of Jesus all the time. I sit there and I think, wow, amazing. I'm reminded of his love for me. But what's beautiful about these two is that they picked each other and they chose each other. But Jesus picked me when I wasn't even deserving of being picked. When it comes to marriage, usually you find, hopefully, two people that have chosen each other because they love each other, because they've got to know each other, and they've decided to spend the rest of their lives together. But when Jesus picked us, we were not worthy of being picked, or at least we weren't because of our sin. But Jesus said, you are still worthy of being picked because of my great love towards you. The benefit of our family with God, the benefit of being a son or a daughter with God, it's impossible for him to switch his love off towards you. It's impossible for him to choose not to love you. Think about that for just a moment. Think about that in our relationships as we go day to day. There are times when I decide maybe not to love just as strong as I did a moment or two before because I don't like what they did to me. I don't like how they responded to me. I don't like how they looked at me or they didn't thank me. And God says this morning, I never changed my love towards you. This is why it's such good news. And so as we go and live as sons and daughters, we live in the reality of God is for us and he loves me unconditionally. And even when I make mistakes, he never withholds love from me. He never stops his love from me. He never holds it back. He never withdraws it. His love is for me. It is with me. It's everywhere I go. Think about the commitments that we make as we get married, in sickness or in health, for better or for worse. I love that commitment. In sickness or in health. It's not easy to love someone when they're sick. It's like, come on, let's go do something. No, I need to stay in bed, but I want to do something. It's not easy because we're selfish. I am a selfish person. It's not easy. I'm like, hey, come on, don't be sick, let's go. You know, for better, for worse, what? I mean, I don't like that for better, for worse thing. Would it not be easier just to get another one? You know what I mean? But God says, I am with you 100%. I am here with you. See, God's love is incredible, and when we join his family and we become sons and daughters, he says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, no matter what, we are together forever. That is an incredible God. That is an incredible Jesus, and that's who we are this morning, sons and daughters of a God who does not change. Okay, let's think of a few things this morning that wants to attack how we live as sons and daughters. You know the thing that the world is obsessed with? Earning. The world is obsessed with earning. You've got to earn the right for this. You've got to earn access for that. You've got to earn respect from me. You've got to earn love. You've got to earn. And how are you going to earn your money? You've got to work. And it feels like our whole world revolves around working. If you don't work, you're no good. If you're not earning a lot of money, you should do better. If you haven't earned all that you need to, keep going. It's all about earning. And all of that is fine, but here's the danger if we become obsessed with earning like everybody else. We think then, when we come to God, instead of having grace and favor, we think we've got to earn something from Him. We think that we've got to prove ourselves. We think that we've got to earn something to God. God said, absolutely not. All of us were sinful. All of us had fallen short of His glory. All of us, our righteousness was like filthy rags, and none of us were good enough. And so if it's about deserve or not deserve, if it's about earn, then we're going to have to go on in our own road because Jesus said, none of you could have made it. That's why I had to come to you. And so when it comes to our relationship with God and our sons and daughters in relationship with Him, the reason why that is important is because I've seen far too often in my mind, and I have to catch myself, and in other people's walks with God, they say, oh, I would love to do this, but the way that I've been living recently, I haven't proved myself enough. I wouldn't be able to do that thing. I wouldn't be able to get there. In other words, they felt like I haven't earned the right to come to Jesus. You know, one of the saddest things is the communion table. Whenever we as Christians want to come to Jesus, and we want to remember what He has done for us, we want to thank Him, we want to praise Him. And so often we can come to that table with fear and worry and stress because we feel that we're not good enough. And we feel because we read the verses in 1 Corinthians 11 that we got to clean up our act, and that's a good thing. And we come to God and we say, God, you know what? I haven't been living great, but help me to come forward. Help me to get over that. I repent. I ask you for forgiveness. But sometimes instead of just doing that in a moment, we just say to ourselves, I've got to earn something. I've got to prove it. I've got to work harder for it. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to step away from it. And the heart of it seems good, but it's a very fine line between earning something and then having favor and grace. And our God is full of favor and He's full of grace. And He loves to bless us, even in the midst of the things that we do. I mean, in this last 3-4 months, we've seen God do incredible things with the building next door. Did anybody live a life worthy enough in the last 4 months of earning $175,000? I would say absolutely not. There was moments when we thought silly things. There was moments when we did silly things. There was moments when we hurt people. There was moments when we did this, that, and the other. And yet, because of God's great love and His great goodness, He says, in spite of all of that, I love them anyway. I want to pour out $175,000. I want them to get that building. Because this building is for bigger things than that. And church, this morning, God wants us to see that there's times when we still know that we're sons and daughters, but instead of living like that because of how we have been, we say, I don't deserve to live like that today. So instead, you know what I'd be safer doing? I'd be safer living like a slave. I'd be better living like a slave because I feel that that's all that I'm worth. And if you remember back to Luke 15, the son thought exactly the same thing. He asked for his dad's inheritance. His dad gave him the money, and he went off, and it said he just went off and wild living, doing all that he could think of. And then he says, I don't deserve to be back in my dad's home. I don't deserve. But did his dad ever say that? Did his dad ever tell him that? Did his dad ever show him that example? Absolutely not. Because it says, and we don't have time to read the verses this morning, but it says when he was a great way off, and the son, it says this before that, it says he came to his senses. I think this morning, if we have got locked into earning the right to be with God, we need to ask God to give us some senses. We need to ask God to give us some fresh senses and come to our senses that God has given us. Because we need to know that He has set us free, and it's by His grace alone that we stand forgiven, not anything that I have done. But it says when the son came to his senses, he decided to go home. And he was still going home with the thought of, I've written a letter, I'm going to apologize, I'm just going to ask to be a slave. Think about that. He was a son, and he was going back to his father's home. He had left his father for a while, and he thought all he would deserve when he goes back home is to be a slave. He said, if I could just be like one of the hired help, if I could just be like one of the guys who just gets to feed the sheep or the lamb or the goats or whatever it was, I'd be happy with that. I just want to be in my father's house. How many of us are sitting here today or have sat here in weeks gone by and have come to their father's house and have felt not good enough to be a son or a daughter, so have decided to sit as a slave, have decided to sit as an orphan? Think about that for just a moment. But what did the father do? The word tells us that when the father saw that he was just a great way off, his son was still afar off, it says that the father began to run. He embraced him like a son, not a slave. He said, forget about the ladder. Forget about all the sorries that you're going to give me. And you're home. That tells me you've repented. That tells me you've turned around. That tells me that you're wanting to turn the corner. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's get the diamond ring on your finger. Let's celebrate because you are my son. You are my daughter. And church, this morning, we need to realize that God is greater than our mistakes, that he is greater than the reality that we face every day. Now, my goal is to not sin. My goal is to get away from sin. My goal, sin means to miss the mark. I'm not looking to miss the mark in my relationship with God. I'm looking to get away from that. But there are times where I get tripped up, both because I decide to and because other people draw me into, or just by accident. And God says, even in those moments, you have not accidentally fallen out of my family. You have not been rejected by me. You're still a son or a daughter. Now, not at your best, but let me bring you back to your best through love. Let me bring you back to your best through love. And maybe we're here this morning, and we're not at our best, and we know that we're a son or a daughter, but for whatever reason, we've decided to live like slaves again and orphans again. And God says, I want to bring you back to your best. Trust me today. Trust me as I would bring you back. And here's the thing about a son. You're never going to stop being a son. Whenever you get to 70 or 70 plus, you're always still a son. You never change from being a son. And a son always has that son kind of mindset. It's like, Dad, I need your help. And God's here this morning. He says, I'm not just talking to young people who are 20, 25, 30, or whatever. I'm talking to sons and daughters of all ages because your heavenly father still calls you a son or a daughter. You're never going to change from that. He loves you absolutely. God is here this morning. He wants to remind you, do not hold yourself back from living as a son or daughter. Can we read Galatians 4? I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 4. We looked at chapter 3. We're going to go to chapter 4 today. It says, no longer orphans or slaves. I just want to remind us again of the transformation and the change. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption through sonship. This is incredibly huge, incredibly huge. We were under the law. We were under the law of performance. We were under the law of always having to be right. We were under the law of sacrifice. If we didn't sacrifice enough, if we didn't do the right things, it was rights and wrongs, rights and wrongs, rights and wrongs, rights and wrongs. And then it says that Jesus came to lift us from under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. See, there's a completely different world from being an employee who's sackable to a son or a daughter that I can't get rid of even if I tried. You know what I mean? And there's times that moms and dads are like, oh, my kids. I'm like, why can they not be better? Why do they have to be like this? I'm going to disown you. I'm going to get rid of you. But when it's all said and done, no matter what they have managed to get themselves into, how can we ever disown? How can we ever let go? And God says this morning, you've got to realize I didn't just come to make you better and leave you as a stranger or even just make you a friend. I've made you a son or a daughter. I have adopted you in. I have brought you into my home. I have transformed where you used to live, and now you belong to me. Now you belong to me. You have the spirit of sonship. So inside of you, your heart has been changed. You are now a son of mine, a daughter of God. I mean, I don't know how to overemphasize this enough, but it is incredible to try to process that, an incredible reality for us to try to get inside our hearts, and all we can do is ask Jesus through faith to reveal that more to us each and every day. We are sons and daughters of God. There is nothing impossible to us, to him who believes, or her, because we are sons and daughters. It's not just because of our faith, but it's through faith that we have become sons and daughters. We have access on a different level than anybody else has. And if we take it to a simple analogy, if my girls come to me and tell me, we got to do this, we got to do that, I'm kind of feeling forced to do it. But if somebody else comes to me and says, you're going to have to do that or this, I'm like, who do you think you are? I mean, I don't know you. We can't do this, we can't do that. And yet when the girls come, sometimes they only have to give a certain look, and then you're like, oh, we're going to have to try and do something better here. We're going to have to try to change this. We're going to have to do more. And God says this morning, you are my sons and daughters, and I treat you in the same way, even more so. Because no eye has seen and no ear has heard of the things that God has got for us and all that he blesses us with. It is incredible. And so my challenge this morning is this. Who do we need to go to tell them about how they could be a son or daughter? Who do we need to go to who is a stranger, who is dead in sin, dead, deceived by themselves, who could see their lives transformed by becoming a son or a daughter? Maybe God's got someone like that on our hearts. says, when the time had fully come, verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. I mean, we read this all of the time, but think about this for just a moment. We get to call the God of the universe who made the heavens and the earth, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, always there. We get to call him Dad. That's essentially it. We get to call him Dad. And it's not just a good thing that we can say. It's an incredible reality. It's an incredible reality that we get to call him Dad, that we get to pray to him like that, that we get to talk to him like that. And there's nothing that you can't tell your dad, especially when you know that there's love there and there's grace there. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also his heir. He just keeps reminding us again and again and again, you are an heir to the throne. You are an heir to the kingdom. You have access to everything. You are fully loved. You are no different than Jesus. You have everything available to you in the same way as he has everything available to him. He has given you access. He has clothed you. He has made you righteous. He has made you a son or a daughter. Church, this morning, I don't want us to any longer or as little as possible ever step away from being a son or a daughter to ever go back to being a slave or an orphan. When we realize we're a son or a daughter, we stop comparing our merely existent. You see, the sad reality is that there's so many of us, if we're not very, very careful, that we're just merely existent, that we're just going through the motions, that we're hoping maybe in 2 years' time things might change for us, instead of realizing that we are sons of the living God, that we are daughters of the living God. We go from, hopefully when we remind ourselves of this, we go from living like that to going like, God is for me. I have purpose. I have plans. He has changed things. He has molded me. He is shaping me. He is discipling me. He is encouraging me. He is causing me to grow. And things are turning around for me because I know who my dad is and I know who I am in him because of my identity. I am a son. We start living. We are no longer threatened. Think about it. When you're a son or a daughter, you're no longer threatened. When you're a slave, everything threatens you. Are they going to take my spot? Are they going to take my food? Are they going to take this from me? I need this. I need this because I'm worried there won't be any more left for anybody else. When you live like a slave or an orphan, you're worried that things are going to run out. You're worried that there's not going to be enough for you. When you're with Jesus, you know there'll always be more than enough for you. There'll always be more than enough. People become brothers and sisters rather than in competition. We stop looking at each other as I've got to beat her, and instead I look and say, that's my brother, that's my sister. We'll love better, we'll embrace better, we'll support each other better, we'll help better, we'll push the boat out. It changes everything. Sons change everything when we become sons of God. And this morning, just for a moment, I want to think of adoption because I think it's a huge concept and a huge reality that the Lord wants to remind us of today. When we become adopted, think about it. Adoption is an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing in our world when someone goes and says, hey, there was a baby that was maybe unwanted or wasn't needed, and we want to take this. We want to take this baby. We want to help this. We want to take this child. We want to take this person, and we want to adopt it in. Now think for a moment the power of adoption and how important that is. It's so important because without that, the child or the person never knows full security. Am I just living here for a while? Will it ever run out? Will you ever say you don't want me? Will you ever say you don't need me? Will there ever be a time whenever you're going to ask me to go? Because I'm not really sure if I'm fully in. See, without adoption, you're not really sure if you're fully in. You're not really sure if you're a son or a daughter. You're not really sure if you have the same access like everybody else. You're wondering, will your time ever be up? You're wondering, is the love as complete as it is for everybody else? But whenever you're adopted into God, you know that there's no difference. There is no difference. You have been adopted in. You have been transformed. When you look at the Old Testament, you look at the definitions, and you go back to why Jesus would have used adoption and why he would have used that term back in the New Testament, you'll see how powerful it was. It meant that a person would go from this identity to that identity. It meant that a person would go from having all of this debt, having all of this against them, having all of those things, and literally their name would change, and because their name would change, everything would change. Everything was left behind. All the old was left behind because they were fully adopted into the Father's house. And so everything that the Father had, they had. Their name changed, their surname changed, just like it does today, but everything changed. And inheritance wasn't a thing like it was today, and it's important for us to remember this right here and now. Inheritance in our culture is that I've got to wait till my dad dies before I get my inheritance. But in Jesus' day, inheritance was right there and then. Whenever you came into the family, everything belonged to the family. Everything belonged. Everything belonged to the family. And of course, it would go to the oldest son, and he would become ultimately responsible for it when his father did die. But inheritance worked in a different way. Whenever you were adopted into God, you automatically had access to your inheritance. That's why the son was able to ask for it. That's why the son was able to ask for his inheritance, and the dad didn't, you know, hit the floor or see a ghost, because the son wasn't asking for his dad to be dead. The son was asking for what was rightfully his. You see, this morning, church, we have an inheritance that's rightfully ours that God has said, I've given to you. And as you become sons and daughters of me, as you step into that sonship, as you step into being a daughter of the Most High, that inheritance is available for you. You don't have to wait to some other day. That inheritance is here for you, here and now. See, when God adopted us, it changed absolutely everything. We got the same identity as our dad. We got the same love that within that family, it started to come into me. We were never quite sure before of our security, but now we have a security that's incredible. Imagine being unwanted and on the run, or not sure of who you are not sure of what you're about, and then suddenly getting adopted into God's family. It changes everything. And church, we'll probably learn that over our lifetime, and it'll only be when we get to heaven that we'll realize just how powerful that adoption was into his kingdom. I want us to look at a story this morning from Joseph, and we literally don't have time to read the verses, but I'm going to encourage you to go to Genesis and read these verses later on for yourself. But Joseph is an incredible character to look at in the Bible because he went through so many different experiences. And just to remind you of Joseph, Joseph was the highly favored son. He was the highly favored son of Jesse. He had that multicolored dream coat that we have all those plays and musical things about, but he had all this high favor. He had all these things that his dad would give him because his dad loved him so much. In fact, maybe his dad loved him too much or expressed it too much because it got Joseph in trouble. It gave him such a big kind of thought about himself. In fact, he had dreams one time that said, and he told his brothers, and maybe he shouldn't have told his brothers this either, but he said, brothers, I had a dream. And all of you guys, and remember, Joseph is the youngest. He said, I've had a dream, guys, to all of his brothers. He said, I've had a dream, and all of you are going to bow down to me. Now, if you've got brothers, then you're going to know that's not a thing that they want to hear. They don't want to hear that their youngest brother is going to lord it over them. They don't want to hear that. But Joseph tells his brothers that one day you're going to bow down all to me. God gives him favor. His father gives him favor, and he knows what it is to be a son. And Joseph's an important character for us to look at today because he goes through incredible, incredible, incredible trials. And I'm sure all of us here today have been through trials that we don't want to go through again. We would hate to think that we ever have to go back there. In fact, some trials that we don't even want people to know because the trials have been so difficult. But Joseph's trials were written all the way through Genesis for us to hear, chapter after chapter after chapter. It felt like there would be no end to the trials that Joseph had. And yet, the most incredible thing about Joseph's life, and what I want us to think about today for just a few moments as we're getting ready to finish, is that he never lost sight that he was a son, not a slave. He never lost sight. He never lost sight of that. When his brothers got sick of him, they said, we want to kill you, Joseph. We want to get rid of you. And so they brought and dug a hole for him and said, we'll not kill you, but we'll throw you in the ground. We're going to sell you as a slave. And Joseph, all through his life, had many different reasons and many different experiences to turn away from a sonship lifestyle and say, my dad has left me. My dad's not here. He can't do anything for me. I'm going to give up on all of that, and I'm just going to turn to being an orphan or a slave because that's really who I am. But all through his life, Joseph refused to live like that. And I want us to look at four quick things today of how Joseph refused to be a victim of his circumstances and how he kept that sonship mindset and how he still became a son and stayed as a son even in all of his trials. The first one was, and we started to begin the story, was that when he was thrown into the pit. Joseph in that moment was thrown into a pit and he was sold as a slave. And when he was sold as a slave, the reality for him was he was a slave. But even in that moment, if you read the verses, Joseph decided not to ever hold that against his brothers or not to hold that against even his father or God. He said, I refuse to hold unforgiveness in my heart. He never allowed that betrayal to overcome him. And when you read the story, and I encourage you to read the story, Joseph stayed as a son, even as a slave. Even when he's in the pit, even when he was down and out, even when he had no hope, he refused to be anything else other than a son. And how do we know that? Because of the way he treated his brothers and the way that he forgave God and the way that he continued to walk with God all the way through his life. And so even when he was put in difficult circumstances, when he should be a slave, Joseph said, I refuse to be one. And church, this morning, even when you're put in difficult circumstances, whenever you might as well just fit in with everybody else, decide yourself, say, no, I have chosen to follow Jesus, and so even my circumstances will not redefine me. I am a son, or I am a daughter. Second thing was, and it was a big thing in Joseph's life, he faced huge sexual temptation. When he got to Potiphar's house, if you remember the story, he was sold as a slave from the pit. The army of the guards bought him, who was called Potiphar. He was a wealthy man. He wanted another servant from his house. And important to notice that all the way through Joseph's life was favor after favor after favor. Because who gets favor? Sons get favor. Grace comes from sonship. It doesn't come from anything else. But all the way through his life, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, it was favor, favor, favor. And so he gets to Potiphar's house. And the story goes, he gets to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife really liked him. Thought, this is a good-looking guy, hard-working guy, great servant. You know what? I'd like to have him. And she was probably within her right, because Joseph was sold as a slave. He was sold as a servant. So if you're a servant, I can have and do whatever I want with you. We pay your wage, we keep you, I do whatever I want with you. And it would have been so easy for Joseph just to decide to be a slave, fit in. I've got to fit in. This is my life now. My father's a long way off. God has maybe forgotten about me. I've just got to fit in. I've got to compromise. I've just got to get on with this thing. But what does Joseph do? Whenever she reaches out to try to get him, to try to take him for herself, he doesn't fall into that temptation, but instead he runs, he flees. And as he runs and flees, he runs as a son. He doesn't run as a slave. A slave would have stayed and just fitted in with the crowd. A slave would have just stayed and compromised and said, hey, this is who I am now. I am the son no longer. But Joseph says, no, I've got to get out of here. And he runs and flees. And because of his actions, think about this. Because of his actions, it says that he went from being a slave to now he becomes a prisoner. Because he gets thrown into prison. Because he's who are they going to believe? Potiphar's wife or Joseph? They're going to believe her over a slave. Absolutely. But Joseph refused to live like that. And so even when he was in prison, he was still a son. And I want to encourage you today that even when you're going through your trials and even when you're going through the difficult seasons of your life, choose to live as a son and choose to live as a daughter. Choose to stay in your identity. Do not let anybody take you from that. We read it a few weeks ago in Romans 8 about who can separate us from the love of Christ. No one. No one can take us from that. God has placed us there. We are sons and daughters of him in spite of where we find ourselves. Let's always continue to live as sons and daughters. So even when Joseph was in prison, he continued to be a son. Do you remember the story? And again, we're going through it quick, but hopefully it sparks your interest and maybe you'll go and read the story. But then do you remember that Joseph gets into prison and God still favors him? And then he starts to give interpretation of dreams. And one day somebody comes to him, the cupbearer, and says, can you do dreams? And Joseph says, absolutely, I'll pray to God and see if God gives me the interpretation of the dream. And he does. And then he only asks one thing. Joseph only asks one thing. He says, cupbearer, could you remember me before the king? Because I kind of like to get out of here. I don't want to stay in this prison forever. I don't want to stay here forever. And of course, if you remember the story, the cupbearer goes to the king, but he totally forgets about Joseph. And Joseph had every reason at that point just to give up. Everything's against me. I've tried year after year after year after year. It's all against me. But Joseph still persevered, even in the midst of all of that. See, sons keep persevering because they know that their dad is good in spite of what they see. Sons and daughters keep going no matter what they face because they know my dad's going to break through soon. My dad's going to come rescue me soon. My dad's going to turn all this bad around for good. My dad is for me and not against me. This is the spirit of sonship that we have got inside of our hearts because of our Abba Father. And then last point this morning about Joseph, because our time is starting to beat us, is that he held well all the things that he had. Because he was a son, he stewarded well. See, whenever you're a slave, you keep all for yourself. You don't give to anybody else. You don't care how anybody else is treated. If you're an orphan, you just keep it all because you're not sure if you're ever going to get any more. And so you live like that. But because of who Joseph was and because of the way he was raised and because he was always a son, even when he was a slave, even when he was a prisoner, whenever he became charge of all the grain and all of Egypt, he rose right to the top. God always had a plan for him. He rose right to the top. I'd stress this. I don't think he would have risen to the top if he hadn't stayed as a son. Because you see, when you become an orphan and you become a slave, you become bitter. You become angry. You become mean. You start to rob yourselves of the things that God has got for you because it's hard to see, right? It's like, no, God's not going to change that anymore for me. I've tried. I've prayed forever. It's not going to happen. Just accept it. That's the way we decide to live. But because Joseph said, no matter what, I'm staying as a son, he rose right to the top. And at the end of the story, or the end of the story when he gets to reunited with his brothers, it says that he didn't withhold the grain from them. He still supplied their needs. He still gave to them. He still helped them. And I want to read a verse this morning as we're nearly done, just to show us about his sonship and show how much he loved his father. All those years, all he wanted to do was get back to his dad because his dad relationship was so strong. Genesis 5:3 says this. It says, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Remember, this is all these years later, and they've come to meet him. They don't even know it's him. And Joseph stands out and he says, is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer because they were terrified of his presence because they remembered how they treated him. They didn't treat him as a son. They treated him as a slave, and they were worried he was going to do the same to them, an eye for an eye. You know, they were worried that death was coming to them. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. You think of it, they did not want to come close to him because they didn't know what he was going to do. He was too powerful. But when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Joseph told them all about it. And now do not be distressed. Do not be afraid. Do not be angry with yourselves. Think about this. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. They were worried for their lives. They weren't angry with themselves. They were fearful of their lives. But Joseph always stayed as a son. He says, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Let me read this part again because this is just incredible. Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Wow. Even in the midst of probably the worst life that you could ever imagine, Joseph chose to see it as God's plan. God made me go through all of that to get to here so I could save people's lives. Jesus went through all the pain, went through all the rejection, went through all the journey, all the way to Golgotha, went all onto the cross, was nailed to the cross, went through all of that. Why? To set us free, to give us new life. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying this to you, that he went all the way for you. Now trust him. Don't try to earn it. You don't deserve it. You just keep receiving it. You can't prove it. God is for you and not against you. And when Joseph met his brothers, he treated them high as sons and daughters. He treated them as brothers. He treated them as brothers. He didn't treat them as slaves because he chose, no matter what I find myself in, no matter where I've been, I've decided I'm not turning away from my sonship. I'm not turning away from being a daughter of Christ. I'm going to stand as a free man and as a free woman. And so as a result, even the bad, I can see that God used it for his glory. Even the bad that I had to go through, I'm not going to moan and complain about it, but instead I'm going to see that God used that for his purposes. And so church, this morning I want to encourage you. It's our jobs to live as sons and daughters. It is our jobs to live as sons and daughters in a broken world full of rejection, full of issues, full of suicide, full of depression, full of all sorts of things. But if we would truly live, then we would turn around just like Jesus and we would say crazy things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, even though we nailed them to the tree. If we would turn around with eyes of love and we would say, God, no matter what, I want to get a heart of forgiveness. No matter what, I want to forgive. No matter what, I want to extend your grace, and I want to extend your love, and I want to extend your mercy. Can we stand together and pray today?